There you go.
Yeah. Okay. We now are, you know, we've moved into our the season of Lent, and the Vineyard booklet that we're following, the Holy Spirit in Lent, we're just really focusing on his work in these 40 days, instead of looking at it from a traditional standpoint, you know, where it's more like mourning and giving up and all that. We're really looking at how incredible the work of the Holy Spirit is in these 40 days. And so, if you got my email yesterday, you know, I was talking about awareness zone. And so I'm calling today just AZ, awareness zone, under construction. And so during these 40 days, I really want us to be able to focus on not what we don't have, but let's focus on what we've been given. And the Holy Spirit is with us to guide us through this season. So I'm just beginning with this first paragraph here. What do these things have in common? Awards, trophies, promotions, Olympic medals, winning the lottery, arriving. None of them provide soul nourishment. None of them heal our brokenness. None of them bring lasting satisfaction. All of them ultimately disappoint. All of them are distractions to our awareness zone. And all of them call out seductively to us in the white-out wilderness of the zero awareness zone. Whoa. So when we just go through life and we're not paying attention, we just miss all of the richness. And so this idea of abundance that we'll get to, we're unaware, and sometimes we think in Western and especially American terms, abundance means what's in my wallet. Abundance means the fame and the prestige and all of these things. And, you know, again, if Jesus could get frustrated, I'm sure he'd be tearing his hair out when we think that way. It's like, who told you that? You know, and we set this bar so high that we're almost guaranteed to feel like failures throughout life. Because there's always somebody who's got more, right, which in our Western American thinking is they're more successful. But, you know, do you know what the suicide rate is for multimillionaires? It's really shocking. I mean, they get to the top and find out that there's nothing there. And so, you know, we strive for things sometimes and we think we're missing out, we're failing, we're doing this. You know, and then there's even some branches of the church that would say, if you don't have everything, if you don't have a 6, 7, or 8-figure salary, there must be sin in your life. Could I say clearly, that is the most ridiculous lie, insidious lie of the enemy that puts us down and makes us feel like, oh, so I wonder what sin God's punishing me for.
Yeah.
Then when we look at Scripture, we realize that's not what Jesus said. That's not what he teaches. And so, anyway, we just really need, if that lingers in our spirit somewhere, we just need to go, okay, I need to just confess this and get it out of here, because my awareness zone will never grow up to maturity if I keep having these things in here that are totally not biblical. So I'm talking about awareness zone, and then it hit me. It's like, just a year ago in Kinship, we went through a military-type spiritual warfare training with Garth, and he did such an amazing job. I thought, boy, this thing about awareness, he did a whole teaching on it.
Presented by Garth. We didn't actually have combat.
Well, my point was, we're in combat, and so in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, Paul talks about us waging war. And we talk about spiritual warfare, right? So 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, and he says, we're in this war, we wage war, not as the world does, and the weapons of our warfare are not of this world. So what does that mean? It means we are in a fight, there is a battle, there is an enemy who wants to win, and we are engaged in a spiritual war because he wants our souls. Just as Keith was saying, you know, the enemy is specifically targeting our youth. And so we want to be aware of his tactics. We want to have our spiritual eyes open. We sing that song, "Open the Eyes of My Heart." And so often, you know, as I've been looking at this, I realize I go through a lot of my days sometimes totally unaware, with no awareness. And so I just asked Garth if he could summarize, recap, or whatever, in 4 or 5 minutes, this teaching on awareness that would really help us, because this is battle language, but we're in a war. So, Garth, tell us about awareness.
I go beyond my time limit. This one time only, you can hit me in the shoulder.
Okay.
And I'll be all right. When Dawn sent me the text yesterday, I was out getting a little throttle therapy on the bike going up Colonial Parkway. And I pulled over real quick because the phone was making noise. I was just making sure it wasn't something wrong. And I didn't have my glasses on. So what I read was, can you give a 45-minute discussion on this? I've got to go home and get this put together. But fortunately, there was that little blessed dash in between the 4 and the 5. So okay. The topic is awareness. This is something that's been beat into first responders and military over and over and over again. If you've got your Bible, which you should, I want you to look at Proverbs 22:3. This is a tenet of mine that I have carried with me at all times. It basically says, a prudent man looks for danger and prepares, while the fool blunders into it and pays for it. In the job I currently hold as an emergency manager, that is exceptionally true. I deal with the 99.9% of the day is great. I'm looking for that 0.1%, or it's not great. Now, if you've seen Proverbs 22:3, I want you to look at Proverbs 27:12. Remember, we're talking about awareness and preparedness. Proverbs 27:12. Is that not almost verbatim, if not verbatim? The Bible has put so much importance on awareness and situational awareness that it's in there twice, almost the same. In mine, it is the same. I think that's a pretty clear hint that walking through life, and John and I would call it diddy bopping, unaware and don't care, is not going to serve you well at all. On that note, 1 Timothy 5:8, when somebody gets there, throw up a hand or just read aloud. My navigational skills in the Bible are a bit slow. Honey, are you trying to know this? Not yet. Okay.
What was the reference again, please?
1 Timothy 5:8.
Okay.
Next time I'll have them written down, I wouldn't write.
Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
If you look at the basic tenets of need for human beings, security is one of them. Security is based in awareness. So we have now linked that all together. If we are not aware, we're not taking care of our family. We're not taking care of our relationship with God. There's been a number of things developed through the military, through first responders, by men and women, for dealing with the world of men and women. But as I sat down and looked at them, these things, inadvertently or intentionally, will apply specifically and accurately to your spiritual relationship. One of them we're going to look at is called Cooper's Colors. And we're going to go through this quick, as best I can.
Go ahead.
Lieutenant Colonel Jeff Cooper was a Marine. He fought in World War II. He was brought back to active duty for the Korean War because of his expertise. He provided the U.S. with the platform for their basic combat handgun work. His concern was that his Marines didn't have a process for elevating...
Taking me out before. Where has he practically eliminated me, or, you know, put me in, you know, zero position, you know, and... That's because he always does that. He always goes back to the same thing that messes with us,
right,
and really discourages us, really sets us on a detour, etc. And so I wanted to look at Colossians 3:16. I've got them written out on your sheet here, but because I use several different ones. But this verse we look at really quickly, and we don't look at it close enough maybe. In the NIV, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the Message, it says, let the word of Christ, the Message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. So I like that. The New American Standard says, let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. And then the Freeman, unauthorized version says, Let the richness of the word of Christ living in you saturate your awareness zone until you are filled all the way up to abundance. And so the idea of dwelling in Christ, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. I think sometimes the word of Christ dwells in me weakly, wimpily. I read it, and have you ever read a passage of scripture and then said, I didn't understand a thing about it. It was just like, didn't make any impact. I think that's when our awareness is at white or at zero, in the whiteout. We're not paying attention. We're not tuned in. And that's when, you get up early in the morning, like Sue and I did one time because we were trying to figure out our schedule when we first moved back here. And so we decided we're going to try to get a walk in with our showers and breakfast and everything. We only had one car. And so we were getting up super early in the morning because Sue had to be at school at 7 and I had to get to work and all that. And so we decided we were going to get up at 4:30 in the morning and we were going to do our devotional together. And we were doing My Utmost for His Highest again by Oswald Chambers. And so this morning, I think it was April 13th in the book if you look it up. So we're sitting there and we're super groggy. Of course, it's 4:30. We've got a cup of coffee, but we're not sufficiently caffeinated. And I am not kidding you. The title of the mess of the devotional that day was "Up from the Wreck I Rise." And the two of us dissolved in laughter and realized this is really not a very good idea. We're not even awake. We don't even know what we're doing. So, our awareness zone has to, get in. Sometimes it requires a little caffeine. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in us. Let's marinate in it. And so as an example this morning, I created this marinated fruit thing out there. So please eat some afterwards if you haven't had some already. But, the idea of marinating stuff, I don't do this, but some people really like to marinate steaks and meats and all that kind of stuff. I did fruit for this morning. But the idea of letting it soak in so that the marinade becomes a part of what you're eating. It soaks in. And so I think letting the word of Christ dwell in us richly, slow down, take time. One of the things we looked at a few years ago was this thing of this old practice of Lectio Divina. This idea of just taking a few verses and then just sitting in them. Just don't read a whole chapter. Read one or two verses, and then just stay there and just ponder them, contemplate them, think about them. Let that verse or those verses do the full work and just saturate us. Because, and as Garth was describing this, the moment we wake up in the morning, we should turn our radar on. I think we should. The enemy's out there. He's waiting for us, and all it takes is a phone call. Or a trip downstairs, or the car not starting, or just whatever. There are all kinds of things that can happen. And so just having our radar on and go, I recognize what that is. I see that arrow. I know where that's coming from. It came up from below. And so I'm just, because my radar is on and I sense it coming, let's move quickly into orange. Let's develop that habit and not let it ruin your day. Has anyone ever had their day ruined within the first 3 minutes they've been up? And it went the whole day. It started bad and it was downhill from there. I really think that's because our awareness is off. It's just turned off. And, we think unless there's a face-to-face confrontation spiritually, we just think, we just have a tendency to float through. And it's like, the enemy loves that. I think he just takes advantage of it. It's like, oh, you're not paying attention. Boy, what an opportunity for me. The lone duck out in the field, what a great target. And so he does that for us. And so as we go through Lent, as we go through this time of recognizing what the Holy Spirit is doing in us, and this, what is my awareness zone? Am I at ZAZ, zero awareness? And I think spiritual maturity means I'm at total awareness. I'm always in yellow, and the orange is right there, ready to kick in every time something happens, so that I'm not just taking, taken by surprise and taken out by the enemy. You know, too many Christians have been taken out because of their awareness, not being, no radar being even on. So I've got an assignment here at the end of the several verses at the end, verses to marinate in this week. So at the bottom, just take these verses that talk about wholeness and fullness and just ponder those, and I think we'll have some things to share next week that the Lord has shown us. I think staying yellow is a safe place to be, isn't it? I mean, having our yellow on, we should never really be out and about in white.
Right. One of the problems coming out of white to yellow to orange to red is you can't sustain them forever. They take a lot of energy and a lot of time. So when you go to white, that's where we're sleeping. You know, we've let our guard down, but we've allowed the Holy Spirit in. We're not being watched. We have an overwatch.
Okay.
Somebody's watching over us.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, that's beautiful.
That's good, yeah.
Okay, so when we can't, so when we really get that wonderful sleep, that uninterrupted 8 hours, which we all get every night without fail.
Yeah.
And we never have any kind of problems getting to sleep or whatever. So, you know, I think that's really awesome. This is the provision, and this is, I think, a full awareness, a total awareness zone is the abundant life we've been promised. I really think that's where the abundance is. That's what he's prepared for us that we so often don't live in because we aren't even aware that it's there. And he talks about it and we think, oh yeah, right, yeah, abundance. Yeah, I really live in abundance, sure. Yeah, really, if this is abundance, I'd hate to see what lack is. And so I think, you know, that really helps. So as we marinate in these verses this week, just these several really familiar verses, and then when we come back next week, let's take some time to discuss some of these things. And as we're going to transition to communion, having communion together this morning, we're all in this together. We're journeyers on a journey. We have obstacles in our way, and we sing lots of songs about scars. You know, scars and battles along the way and all of that. But we've never been left alone. But maybe we do feel we've been left alone. Maybe in that zero awareness, we're just like, man, God wasn't there for that one. I had to do that one all by myself. And if we ever say that or feel that, you know, I think that's because our awareness is at zero and we're not understanding what he's providing for us. You know, or when we got this text from Sandy this morning about her cancer, and you know, especially when the doctor had to tell her that it was a very aggressive form of cancer, you know, that's not a fun thing to get. And that brings your awareness up. You know, it's like, wow, you know, this is really something here. We need to pay attention, and instead of running away, we need to be prepared to face the enemy on our terms, not his. And so as we come and we remember again what Jesus did, this meal, this the bread, the symbol of his broken body for us to make salvation available to us, and then the cup that represents his shed blood for us. Without the remission of sin, Scripture says there is no forgiveness. And so here we are, we're this messed up ragtag bunch, and we've been called into sharing in the glory of Jesus, sharing his inheritance because of his sacrifice for us. That needs to stir us. If it doesn't stir us to share monthly, as we do the last Sunday of each month, if it doesn't stir something in us, we need to turn the awareness on to go, this is something that is a reality 24/7, 365. This is what I live in. This we live and move and have our being in him. And out of him, we're on our own. And so, you know, that's our awareness. And so as we celebrate communion together this morning, we would just have that awareness that he's made a way for us. And totally not of our deserving. But it wasn't at the beginning. And as long as we live, it still will not be our deserving. It's because of the amazing accomplishment of Christ on the cross for us. So let's pray as we prepare our hearts, as we sang this morning. I'll prepare for you in our hearts. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for these days that lead up to our celebration of your resurrection. This amazing miracle of love on our behalf. You are willing to go the full distance, all the way through. You were in red, and you committed to your action all the way through to the end, as Garth was mentioning this morning. You didn't turn back when you could have. You made a decision, and as hard as it was, you followed it through. Give us that same conviction to follow it out and to live in such ways that we give back to you. Every blessing we turn back in praise, we sing. Father, could our lives count as we marinate in you this week in a very specific, intentional way? Would you meet us? Would you speak in ways that we've never heard you speak? Would you open areas of understanding that we have never, ever managed to attain?
Thank you.
Would you meet these seemingly impossible situations? And in this room, we represent humanly totally impossible situations. And you meet us there. And that's when you begin to show us your provision. Could we be aware? Could we be aware as long as we need to? And then could we have blissful, white-out sleep as you watch over us so that we'd be restored for the next day? Thanks for meeting with us. Thanks for joining with us. Thanks for celebrating with us here this morning. As we celebrate, as we remember you and all that has been given to us in you. Without putting you guys on the spot, you want to kind of introduce yourselves a little bit? So we haven't really got a chance to know you yet. If you don't want to, that's fine.
My name's Brent. This is Debbie. We're here from Texas because I suddenly find myself without a job about a year ago.
Hey, Texas!
And the Navy needed some of my expertise, so.
Okay.
Right.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, great. Well,
welcome. Whereabouts in Texas where are you from?
The Houston area.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Why?
We're aware of threat awareness. We live in Icaria, Pepper's Lane. I can't bring the other to Virginia yet.
Yes, you can.
I can?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, Leanne?
Sandy and everything, I just wanted to say I went for a
complete
bone scan, and 14 years ago I was diagnosed, as you all know, with malignant melanoma that had lymph node involvement.
Wow.
And there wasn't anything they could do, there wasn't any treatment, and they just sent me for observation to UVA, and that and prayer from all my loved ones. That was 14 years ago. There was not one sign of active.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Also, this is the 33rd year of the first miracle that I was involved with prayer. My best friend, Jeannie, had non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Very aggressive.
Very aggressive. There wasn't anything they could do. She was a young woman with two little children.
Gave her 6 weeks.
They gave her 6 weeks, and 33 years later, praise God, the first miracle that I ever witnessed. They tried an experimental treatment at that time, was not used, but because she was young and there wasn't anything else they could do, they tried this and it worked. So
she still uses several hours of our phone time a day.
So I just want to praise God, thank Him, and to know that when the world tells you there is no hope and the doctors can't look you in the face because they're so hurt and they look down, and to know that all these years later you're still standing because we have a higher position.
Mm-hmm.
Because someone was aware and noticed the cancer on her back.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So anyone else, do we need prayer this morning before we...
Prayer for my cousin's family. I think you may remember
about a year ago, my mother had gone to the hospital. She died. And on the day of her funeral, my cousin Luann hung herself. This last week, her husband went out in the shed that she hung herself in and burned himself to death. So some people are out there lost, and they need people to pray for them. And you know someone's lost, or just in general, you know about people that are lost and people that are unaware. The failings of society will never be compensated for by law, so try to remember that as we go through the next several months of our society trying to change. But pray for our government, pray for our president. You may not like him, but he's president, and God put him there for a purpose. Just pray for our government, pray for our people, pray for our society, because we are desperately being set upon by Satan.
So as you leave, you want to begin your marinating process with a little marinating fruit, so please take advantage of that time here. All the hard work that went into it. But we got some good stuff to marinate in this week in these verses. Gregory.
Yeah, I just want to thank everyone for your support, text and prayers and whatnot. The situation is stable. That's all I can say. These things are variable and complex. But it's better than it was.
Our prayers will continue.
Absolutely.
God bless you.
Yeah.
So I'm just riding the tiger.
All right. Well, let's continue celebrating His goodness.
Marinate. See what that's marinated in.